Welcome to the Chadron State Sports Journal, presented by Farmers State Bank and Alliance, Bridgeport and Chadron.
We all want to be great, and we take it, you know, one day at a time, one game at a time, and hopefully we can, you know, make history here.
My interest in volunteerism and community service also has made me interested in working for the Make-A-Wish Foundation potentially in the future. That's an organization that I have just loved my whole life and I've been involved with in the past.
Voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins, visits with CSE coaches, athletes, and sports newsmakers each week. Here's your host with tonight's edition of the CSE Sports Journal.
Joining me tonight on the Chadron State Sports Journal radio show and podcast, we've got women's basketball head coach Janet Raymer. And Janet, so glad you're in the studio with us here today to come down for a visit and look ahead to college basketball season. First of all, how was the offseason for you and how are you doing?
Well, thanks, Dave. It's great to be here and to see you. Our preseason has gone pretty well. We've got big numbers this year. We've gotten some court time. And, I mean, just getting used to a lot of new kids, and it's been a great experience for us.
That's great, Coach. You're entering now your sixth season. Hard to believe we're already at year number six, a time just flying on by. And I'd imagine that you're just really excited with official practice starting this week. What'd you do on that first day of practice, and how are things going in this opening week with what is a big roster we'll get into in a minute?
Initially, we did more time. So in the preseason, we're so limited on how much time we can spend. We try to split it up through the week. Mm-hmm. Our first day of practice, I think we spent 2 to 3 hours on the court. I believe it was two. And it was nice to put the team through just drills, some full court drills again, but being there for that longer period of time, start getting their minds used to having more time on the court at once.
As we get into this season, we'll take a quick peek back at last year. Such an unusual year, and unfortunately, we're still dealing with this COVID situation as it moves forward. But last season, a tough one. COVID made life difficult, but there's unique challenges for a college basketball team in scheduling and playing games. And as you've had time to sort of reflect back over the summer and look at what you all had to go through last year, what were the things that really stood out from that season that made it a difficult one?
You know, the uncertainty, and I think most people would say with COVID, the uncertainty is probably the scariest or the hardest thing to deal with. It was very hard. We played almost half of our games. We usually had about half of our team available, and that went from practice to game. It didn't matter what we were doing, but it was about half. And so when you look at that, you start having injuries. I didn't have the roster that I wanted going into games because I didn't have the depth. It was less depth than a normal season, and then you didn't know if you were going to play that game, so that really wears on our players mentally. And then physically, the time that they're spending on the court that maybe they wouldn't normally, especially for a back-to-back game, because if we had one game, we had two games, typically. If we missed one game, then we had no games. And so it was a lot of uncertainty. The mental aspect was probably the hardest, I think.
Yeah, I remember that first road trip. We were supposed to go to Western Colorado and Fort Lewis last year, and the departure kept moving back 1 hour at a time all day long until the very end of the day, and then finally got canceled. And I can only imagine how tough it is for your players to go through those kind of waiting games in anticipation and then having the rug pulled out from underneath them and not having any games at all. So difficult. And I know it's only preseason, first week of practice, but having seen volleyball and football kind of move forward regularly and with testing and those type of different things, do you feel like this year, at least to this point and looking ahead, is going to be a little bit more normal and we'll get most of the, if not all the games in?
I do. There's some different rules and different things in play, you know, that are going to, I believe, allow us to have some of those games that we would not have had a year ago. One of the things that I did with our roster was just explode it. We have 22 kids on our roster, and I think that's going to allow us to have the numbers that we need. It's more depth than I've ever seen Chadron have since I've been back here. And that's going to play a lot into our competitiveness. I think we've been competitive in the past, but I think we're going to have a shot at winning more games this year. But it also came out of a little bit of fear of just not having players to put on the court a year ago.
Yeah, 22 players. That you have almost like another team and a half, 15 newcomers, 7 returners. And so with 22 players, Coach, it sort of sounded like in your answer that anybody should be kind of ready to play at any given time based on if there's maybe a, let's say there's a little COVID outbreak, or let's say there's a reason you need to fill some spots. We could see kind of a mix and match as the year goes along. Is that accurate, that you could see quite a few people maybe see some court time just sort of depending on how things shake out to be able to get some games played?
A little bit of that. I think we'll probably redshirt 3 to 5 players. But the difference in this year, I think if there were to be a positive on the team 1 week, I think that the difference might be that the other team might not just can't, they may not just cancel on us. They may still allow us to play. That's what I'm anticipating. And that's where we got into trouble last year, where you have one positive and the other team doesn't want to play. You can't just quarantine that person.
Okay.
And then at times quarantine your whole team. And so right now for us, we could potentially redshirt 3 to 5 kids, but you know, we've been in school for a couple months now, and we're already getting to the point where, I mean, if I had a smaller roster, we wouldn't have enough to practice. Where yesterday, I think I was missing 5 players, you know, so whether it was injury, illness, whatever it was, that puts our numbers down again. And so if I'm starting with 13 or 14, I have half of a team almost, you know, or a third, so, or 2/3. So it's become a numbers game a little bit. I hope that it kind of irons out. I anticipate us playing more games and having those numbers. But yes, you could see some different players throughout the season at different points. I have a lot of freshmen on the team, and that brings in consistency typically. And we have some capable young players, but we're just going to have to find some consistency, and it might not be the same player every week.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that the problem of not being able to practice because of not enough people that happened last year because of COVID. Seems like you've got that hopefully solved with a big roster, and you'll be able to get a lot more practice time in, and not just practice itself, but effective practice is doing what you really want because you've got enough bodies on the floor. So that was one challenge that last year you had to overcome because of the COVID season. But let's look forward. Let's get past that. Hopefully the world and everybody moving beyond that and getting back to normal soon. One thing that's normal for your team as we visit with Coach Janet Raymer, CSC Women's Basketball, is Jory Peters in the backcourt. She is a phenomenal basketball player, one of your top returners this year from Mitchell, Nebraska, just down the road. And I imagine she is ready and primed for a nice big season.
Yep, Jory's been doing well in practice. I've been trying to bring her some competition for all the years that she's been here, especially after her freshman year. And I think I've finally done that. And so we have a couple of point guards who are pushing her every day to be better and to hold her own. She's doing a nice job. And I think that's going to better her game. Jory's doing a great job for us. I think we can look for her to score a little bit more probably this season. And I could even put her at a 2 guard if I choose to.
All right. And well, one player that is not going to return this year that fans will definitely miss seeing out there, Taryn Foxen, has decided she's off in Prague now, living life and getting into the real world, and made a decision that she won't be returning. And it's going to be a big loss, a fan favorite, one of the top scorers of all time. And I'm sure you're going to miss having Taryn back there.
Absolutely. Taryn's a special player, special person, and the fans will definitely miss her. We'll miss her. I'm really proud of Taryn for the decision that she made. It's a grown-up decision to move on, and that's what she was ready for. You know, it was a late decision for her, but the opportunity arose, and she took it. And there is more to basketball. Even coaches don't like to say that, but there's more to life than basketball.
I can tell how it's hard for you to even say it, Coach, because you're so ingrained in basketball. There is a little bit beyond, and Taryn, like you said, making the decision after playing a wonderful career here at Shadron State. So you've got Jory coming back. What other returners are coming back that the fans are going to recognize and you expect are going to be some contributors this year to the team?
I'm really excited about our returners, actually. We have Bailey Brooks, who's in her 5th year, and Brittany McCauley. They're both working on their master's programs, working in them. And at some point in their career, for whatever reasons, whether it was injury or just not ready to go yet, redshirted. And they're kind of the success story that every coach wants to see, because they took that redshirt year and they really developed out of it, whether it was mentally for Bailey because she was injured, or physically for Brittany as a player. She just really developed her skill. And for me to see those two working together on the court, it's awesome. They're undersized. Brittany's playing the four, and Bailey's playing the three. They work really well together. They're slashers. They're getting to the rim. They're doing everything that a coach would want them to do, and they're leaders. So that's exciting for me to see. Kind of they started out as underdogs, and they're doing a great job. I think they'll be noticed in the RMAC a lot more, and they'll be on somebody's scout. And then we have a couple of sophomores that are technically freshmen because of the COVID year, Shea Powers and Olivia Waffle. And those two are coming along well. You can tell that they've already had a year under them. A year ago, they were those lost freshmen who you knew they could play, but they had those inconsistencies and they weren't quite sure what to do or what to expect. And you didn't know what to expect out of them that day. And they've become more consistent. They've actually become leaders on the court, and they're doing a lot for us as well, just in the day-to-day, and they're really bought in as well, also getting in the gym in the off hours. And then our final two more returners, Tatum Peterson and Megan Ross, and both of those, I believe, I mean, Tatum's really taken a leadership role in the post play, because she's that sole returner other than Shea, so an upperclassman for them to look at. And Tatum's a very smart player. You know, athletically, sometimes it's her hold back her speed, but at the same time, she can make up for a lot of that with her knowledge. She'll get herself on the court because she's such a leader in that regard, and she knows what's going on the court. Megan has the potential to shoot the ball, and she's kind of been in and out of practice a little bit this preseason, and so we'll see where she can get yet this year.
Nice group coming back for you, Coach, and it was so fun to see Shea Powers explode, kind of like Taryn Foxen did in her freshman season midway through. Shea out of nowhere, I think it clicked at one point last season, and man, she could really be a force. And Olivia off the bench as well last year as a freshman. We saw what she could do at that guard spot. And so we have that group coming back, and now we can get to, you've got transfers, you've got freshmen, 15 newcomers. You know, we don't have an hour to go through all of them, but maybe you could highlight out of that group some that are maybe going to be highly impactful early on. Maybe it's hard to tell at this point, but give our fans maybe a taste of some of the newcomers that are having a good early preseason, or maybe you expect to be on the floor a little bit this year.
I'll go through some of our transfers first, because I think that they've had a really good preseason. Emily Atcher, she's a transfer from Casper College, and she's just a really solid player. Comes in consistent every day. She'll compete for the top spot or top spots. She's very consistent, though, in her energy level, her attitude, and her play. And so that brings us a lot of depth in our program. Riley Iano is a kid who can hang on the rim when she chooses, and she's extremely athletic. If we can run more of a basic screen and roll type offense, she's going to explode. Owadi Okoi, she'll sit out this year. She probably is our number one post player, but she's going to have to wait to get on the court. But she brings a lot to our practices, so fans aren't going to see her except for maybe on the bench. And then we have a couple more. Olivia Pacheco, who was at Miles Community College a year ago, and she's just a ball of fire. You know, she's going to get after it and brings more depth to us. And I'm toying with the idea of putting her at some point guard once in a while. We expected her to come in at the two guard. And then Samaya Worrell is going to be one of your most talented players you're going to see probably in the RMAC. And she can shoot it. She can get to the rim. She's everything. We just got to get her settled in to a new school. And she's really having a good preseason as well. So those are our transfers. There are a lot of freshmen. I'm not sure if I really want to name them right now. It's pretty, it's up and down the consistency level. You know, some of our better players are out with injury, have been out with some illness. But we have some consistency as well in a small number of them. I expect to probably, I mean, we'll travel half of them most likely. But there's a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, and with freshmen, sometimes they jump in the fire right away. Other times it takes a little seasoning, a little bit of development. And I think one of the fun things about following your team this year is going to see which of those get the opportunity. And like Shea did, like Taryn did through the season, you see them really pick up where they find themselves as a college basketball player, and just how different it is than high school. And some of them really begin to thrive. And that's where it gets really fun, when you see all that potential starting to take place.
We probably have three of those type freshmen, I would say, where one is dealing with an injury right now that might make her sit for the whole season. That's Gianna Principato. We're trying to see. We've talked about redshirting, but I don't know if I can live without her on the court.
Yeah.
She's one of those players that's going to just blow up. But right now, we're not quite certain if we're going to be able to get her on the court again anytime soon. And then we have a couple others. You know, we brought a lot of size in this year. For us, the size part of it, we've always been undersized compared to a lot of teams. And so if you look across our transfers and our freshmen, we're going to be just across the board bigger. And for us, that's a huge thing. Like, I haven't really dealt with a big team, you know. And so Michaela Dahman is a freshman for us. She's probably 6'2 and really long. And I think you'll see a lot of improvement through the year on her. We expect to travel her. She's doing a lot of good things. She's really smart on the court. There's that size piece that we're going to start developing from that freshman on. So I'm excited about her. And I think two more that I probably would like to actually mention as freshmen.
Sure.
Livia Castellano. She's been really solid. She's a tough kid out of Gillette. And she's had that freshman preseason, you know, up, down, up. And right now she's out with injury. And I know we'll get her back here pretty quickly. But it'll just be a little bit slower start for her. And then Ellie Ravenscroft just works really hard. We've talked with her about her skill level, and she has room to develop still, but she's so athletic that we're probably going to want her on the court to do a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll look to her too. She's actually pretty consistent, really, because you know she's going to show up every day.
That's great. And kind of a local kid, Cody Kilgore, from not too far down the road. So good to see those Western Nebraska kids jump in and have an impact early, hopefully, for Ravenscroft can do that. As we visit with Janet Raymer, Eagle women's basketball coach, a couple of final notes, Coach, for you. Let's jump to your staff real quick. It looks like you've added a former men's basketball player who everybody's going to remember from the last few years, Jacob Jefferson, a terrific player, unfortunately kind of hampered by those injuries, and it looks like it's cut his career short, but he's found a way to stick around at Shadron State, contribute, and still be with us, and that's great.
Jacob Jefferson has been a blessing for me. He knows the game. He's excited to be there. You know, when he first reached out, heard that the job was open, he showed up that next morning to just come watch practice. I asked him to come meet with me, just observe practice. And it was an early practice, and not everybody just right out of college wants to do that. And
yeah,
I know he had work later that day. And so he showed up, and he's shown up every day since. He's a worker. He knows the game. Something that I've been looking for is to have a developed true post coach. And it's been nice to have him in there because he is a bigger body that if I need him to get the pad out or I need him to do something like that, he's available. But you're right. He definitely would have loved to play another year, but his knees weren't going to let him. So he's been a good addition.
Yeah, he can now put that basketball mind to work for the women's program, and a guy that knows CSC. And great to have Jacob still with the program. Janet, we'll finish up with the schedule. You guys have some more D1 teams, some exhibitions on that schedule, some non-conference games that are exciting as well. And the regular season tips off in less than a month. It always sneaks up on me. College basketball sneaks up so quick in the fall. And let the fans know a little bit about what your schedule looks like and who you'll be playing. Then also the RMAC and what you kind of see out of the RMAC schedule a little bit.
Well, we have an exhibition game November 3rd at CSU. I think more than anything, we want to challenge ourselves, but also to give the players the experience of a big time game. And so we have that game, and we have Wyoming this year. Wyoming's November 22nd. We'll fly down to Texas. It'll be a November 12th and 13th game. Kingsville and International, those teams are going to be high level, and that'll challenge us as well. It'll be a little bit more like an RMAC challenge for us in the fact that we have a back-to-back game. Our first home official game is November 21st against Mount Marty. We've chosen to back that with travel, and that's where we go to Wyoming. So we'll travel after that game to head to Wyoming for the next night. And the reason I chose to travel instead of just drive over the next day is because it is more like an RMAC experience where you have that back-to-back game. And so it gives us one more chance to do a back-to-back before we start our conference play. We have a single game with Kearney and a single game with Wayne State as well in our preseason. And so those aren't too far of travel, but it's good competition for us. I expect us to be at a higher level this year with our depth and getting back to normal. And I really believe that we have improved every season. You know, a year ago was really difficult, but it was and I'm not sure how much we grew out of that other than mentally. You know, I think that it was hard on everybody, but they lived through it and they're ready to fight on and get more out of it. I didn't want it to be a pushover schedule, but I wanted it to challenge us and make sure that we don't have that false hope that we know what we're coming up against when we get to RMAC play. And that's that first weekend of December when we kick off a home game with Fort Lewis. But I mean, we're excited. I know the girls are really excited to start those games. I'm not sure if we're quite ready for those games, but I know everyone's really excited about it to see kind of where we are. And we do have a home scrimmage on Friday, October 22nd, here at 4 o'clock. We're not going to pull bleachers out.
But it is open to the public?
It is open to the public. We'll have the end section open, and people can stand up above. So if you're really curious, get out and see us at 4 o'clock on Friday. We'll scrimmage Casper Junior College, and it will be truly a scrimmage. You know, we're not going to run it like a game necessarily. We will keep score, you know, a quarter and a quarter or something like that, and we'll try to get our kids on the court who we think are going to play this year and get them a little bit of competition outside of our own team.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing the details on the scrimmage. It'll be good to see the team get after it for a preseason little get-together. And then those big Mountain West games, those are always fun down at Fort Collins. We've done that several times against the CSU Rams. You got YO there as well and in Laramie. And I know the girls enjoy that. It sounds like things are setting up to get some good seasoning and ready to go for the rigors of what's always a tough RMAC schedule. It's a good women's basketball conference. There's some tough teams out there. And we're excited. I'm excited to see you guys put the challenge to them once again here this year. That's head coach Janet Raymer of the CSC Eagles women's basketball team.
Thank you, Dave. We're excited. I'm excited to see you at the games, and we're ready to get started at least.
I see the sign out front says Farmer State Bank. So do I need to be a farmer to bank here?
No. At Farmer State Bank, we're proud to help farmers and ranchers achieve financial freedom. But we can do the same thing for anyone. Teachers, receptionists, railroad engineers, you name it.
So actually it's farmers and anybody else who needs a really good bank, State Bank.
Yeah, I don't think that'll fit on the sign.
Farmer State Bank, your bank, your way. Member FDIC.
Thank you for joining us on tonight's Chadron State Sports Journal. Listen or download archive show episodes anytime you want on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com. Join us again Wednesday night for the CSC Sports Journal, presented by Farmers State Bank and Alliance Bridgeport and Chadron.